Hello and welcome. It's the pleasure of Power to Change to present Family Life Today each week, Monday through Friday at this time. We'd love you to contact this station and tell them how much you appreciate hearing Family Life Today. Well, let's get started on today's edition.
So we have an exciting day in the studio today.
It's a unique day.
First thing is we have more people in here than we've ever had. We have three couples, counting us.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about Married with Benefits podcast that Family Life does and get some responses. But before we go there, we got to let our listeners know who's in the audience. So we've got an engaged couple getting married in 100 plus days.
Yeah.
Guys, tell our listeners who you are.
My name's Joseph Torres.
And I'm Anna.
Anna who?
Anna Markham.
Anna Markham.
Well, that's an important name here at Family Life because your dad works for this place.
Yeah.
And your mom.
Yeah, it's true.
And sitting on the other side of the studio, Outer Bridges, tell our listeners who you are.
Yeah, my name's Colin. This is my wife, Stacy.
Yeah, and we're so excited to be here. We have the privilege of leading a local church called Nona Church here in the Lake Nona community. And we have four beautiful children. Yeah, and we're super excited to be here around this table getting to talk about how to engage in marriage and have a happy marriage.
And you guys have been married 15 years.
15 years.
Wow. High school sweethearts.
Yes, yeah.
So what are we doing today, Dave Wilson?
Well, I was just thinking we've got an engaged couple that knows nothing about marriage.
They think they do.
They're going to be amazing. You guys know a lot about marriage. Yeah. And then you got 44 years married over here. Today's an interesting day because Family Life has a podcast called Married with Benefits with Brian Goins and Shanti Feldhahn. Shanti's a world-renowned author, a Harvard-trained researcher. All of her books are based on research, which is, I find, fascinating. She interviews and tabulates results from couples. And a book that she wrote years ago that Ann and I love is called The Surprising Secrets of Highly Happy Couples. Sort of a strange title, but what she did is she said, I want to find the happiest, most satisfied couples in the country in the era of marriage. And I want to study them and find out, what do they do that makes them happy and satisfied?
And she goes the opposite way. I think a lot of us are looking at, what did they do wrong? She's looking at, what are they doing right?
So she had a survey with thousands of couples where she put them in a category. If the husband and the wife, and they didn't know this, they didn't do this together, they were separate, they didn't know what their spouse was saying. If they both answered the question, are you satisfied and happy in your marriage? Yes. She put them in the top category as the best couples. Others that said, I love my marriage. I really like my marriage, but I wouldn't. They're not in the category. So, okay, those are your couples.
And they both had to say, I'm highly happy.
Yeah.
They did.
So she calls them highly happy couples. And she says, okay, let's study them and find out what their secrets are. She came up with eight. And Brian and Shanti have been talking about this on their podcast. By the way, if you haven't seen this, it's on YouTube. Go there, listen to it on Spotify.
And this is season four, and this is episode three that we're talking about.
And all that to get us to this. One of the surprising secrets that she discovered is that little things in marriage are really, really big. And she got to the point where she could identify the most important top five for men that are little, that are big, and then women. So today, we're going to talk about she calls it the Fantastic Five for men, for husbands. What is it that if you do as a wife, this lights up his life? All right? So we're going to watch about 10 minutes of Brian and Shanti talking about this, and then you, the experts, are going to give us some feedback.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So let's watch Brian and Shanti talk about this, and then let's talk about it.
Hopefully you're listening to this as a couple, you know, you can be able to reach over and go, that's it for me. You know, yes, I love those. And just encourage each other as you're listening to each one of these. So let's talk about the Fantastic Five for her. I'm going to let Shanti, I'm going to let you do those. I'm going to do the ones for the guys to do for his wife.
Yeah. So these are the ones for your husbands, ladies. And these are not going to be 100%, but in most cases, it was in that 75-80% range. And so the first, since it's for a guy, what they're concerned about is all about, am I doing the right thing for her? Like, it's about what I do. Am I a good husband? Am I a good father? Notice that effort and say thank you. And that was one of the things that was the big aha moment now that has helped in a lot of books, a lot of research, to find that for a man, the words thank you are kind of the equivalent of a woman hearing, I love you.
Wow. That, just to notice and to specifically say it too, or
yes,
not to, just to, thank you. Like, don't just say thank you all the time now. It's like,
well, it's for noticing something. For yeah. something. Mm-hmm. You know, thanks for changing the light bulbs. Mm-hmm. That was driving me absolutely nuts. Yeah. Thanks for doing that. He did something with the kids. You were on a Zoom call. It was noisy. Mm-hmm. The kids were driving you crazy. He took them out in the yard to play catch or something okay. to get them out of the house. Thank you so much for doing that. That meant so much to me. Like, it may seem like a little thing, but it's a really big one.
It makes a big difference. So that's the first one. That's saying the first thank one. You. Okay. Yeah.
And the second one is then taking it to the next step and saying, and you did a really good job at that. Like, I love how you are with the kids. Mm. I love how you have just the right mix when little Johnny, you know, stumbled and hurt himself, that you had the, oh, I'm so sorry, but get back up. You know, you're just the right mix of the sympathy and the suck it up.
Yeah.
And so saying you did a good job at that, you may think he knows that. Don't assume that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? I think we've all, and you say this, and you know, for women only, is that there is that little tinge of insecurity that every guy wakes up with. Every yeah. morning I wake up with, like, will anyone notice? Do I matter? Am I strong enough to do what I need to do during yeah. the day? And so when somebody actually notices that and says, you did a great job doing that. It does. It puffs you up.
Yep. So then the number three thing is even the next level to that, which is to actually mention something that he did well in front of other people. You know, you say something in front of your girlfriends, you're out to dinner with a couple other couples, and you're like, you know what? I was so over it with that Zoom call. I couldn't hear myself think. I was worried about what my boss was thinking. And then he took the kids and he kept them and he played with them, and he was so good about this one thing. And you're saying this in front of other people at the dinner. And he's going, ah, yeah, whatever. And inside, he's like, dun, 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 dun. Like, he's so, like, inside, yeah. this is a big deal. Tell right. me if, like, from a guy's perspective.
No, it is. You know, and I just think about how these build on each other. Thank you. You did a great job at this. Now, next level, I'm going to brag about you in front of my friends. Guys do feel that differently. And really it is. It makes a huge difference that it's my spouse.
Yes.
And you would think yes. that it wouldn't, but it's like there's, I mean, I still think one of my chief goals in life is to make Jen happy. And
you and most other men.
Yeah, yeah. When we were dating, and I was like, when she was by the court, in fact, my guys would be like, we always hated when Jen would walk by the court because that's when you kind of took over. Like, yeah, because I'm playing for an audience of one at that moment.
There you go. Absolutely. Well, and I think a lot of wives don't realize how much their husband is playing for an audience mm-hmm. of one. And what we have to confront, and I probably should like put brackets around these things, and the women listening to this with kind of a, maybe a skeptical, like, really, you know, remember, you're thinking, oh, great, now I'm stroking his ego. Here's the thing. He doesn't have an ego in the way you think about it, which is he's so prideful, he's so puffed up, mm-hmm. he kind of needs to be taken down a peg or two.
Yeah, he's narcissistic.
Right? Narcissistic. And instead, what we found, the vast majority of men, statistically, depending on the survey, it was somewhere between 75 and 85% of men, actually, they don't have that ego. They have a deep self-doubt. Hmm. That is what is the issue. You're not puffing up his head. You're like giving him this great, soothing sense of reassurance
yeah.
as a husband. It's sort of the analogy that somebody told me the other day. They were like, picture a dry and thirsty land. And you're giving them a little bit of water, a little bit of water, mm. and a little bit of water. And that's the issue with these little things. Pretty soon, that little bit of water every day, it's not a dry and thirsty land yep. anymore. Number four, I know some women were waiting for this one. And yes, this is a thing, that when a wife shows her husband she desires him sexually and that he pleases her in that way, there is something very, very important down deep in the heart of a man that speaks to and provides amazing reassurance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, this isn't one of those deals where if you're in a situation where you're an abusive, especially sexually abusive, this is not the thing.
No.
This is not the one that you're wanting to then put into your life.
Well, in any of these, if you're mm-hmm. in that kind of a situation, yeah, the application is going to be completely
exactly.
different, because thanking, finding things to thank an abusive husband for, no.
Yeah.
Not going to go well.
What's this last of the Fantastic Five?
So the last one is going to sound so simple. It's just to show him that he makes you happy.
Hmm. When does a guy feel that?
I asked this question of guys because I kept hearing this. I'm like, what does that mean? I just want to make her happy. Mm-hmm. I just want to make her happy. I think you just said that mm-hmm. a few minutes ago.
I didn't even realize that.
It's one of my main purposes is mm-hmm. I just want to make Jen happy. And we kept asking, how does that get shown? Mm-hmm. And of course, there's many ways that that gets shown. But the key is literally, if you seem content in your life, if he sees you smile, that is this. Like, I had one guy who had gone through a difficult season in his marriage. And, you know, one of the things that was a benefit about the research is we were looking at different categories and including what gets you from a place of difficulty to a place of really having a happy marriage. And so we were asking him, what was it that she did? And this guy said, it used to be that when I would walk in the door, she would have like, hi, yeah, okay, hey, the thing needs to be cleaned up or whatever. Like, right. It was just very transactional, right. You know, whatever. And he said, and then came the day that I walked in and she turned around and just instinctively, I saw this big smile. And it was like he said, and he was telling me this, he was starting to cry. Actually, I could tell his eyes were getting a little bit red. And he's like, I'm so sorry. I don't know where this emotion is coming from, but I knew that something had changed when it was clear that I made her happy.
So let me ask you this. What jumped out? Any one of you go, did something jump out?
Yeah, I would say that last one really rung true with us. And one of the things that we've learned is that even in the midst of, you know, the afternoon hustle before dinner is getting ready and kids are doing homework and, you know, everything is going on at once in the home, I have found that if I will take a pause when I hear the garage door open and I know that Colin's coming in, to put down what I'm doing, to, you know, tell the kid, hang on, you know, I'll be back with you in a moment, and be ready to greet him when he comes in the door with a smile on my face, genuinely expressing how excited I am to see him. Man, that just, I think that makes a world of difference.
It lights
home.
Up mm-hmm. my day.
It really does.
How yes. you're saying, and we're talking about number five being that we make it clear to him that he makes her happy.
Yes. Yeah.
So mm-hmm. if Stacy meets you in the garage, you've had a hard day. She probably has too, but mm-hmm. when she meets you in the garage, it makes you feel...
It makes me feel home. It makes me feel secure. It makes me feel like the work that I spent doing over the course of the day is valued and it matters. And I think that Shanti's on to something, that there's no doubt that the thing I care about most is whether or not Stacy's happy or not. Mm. In so many ways, her willingness to recognize the power that she has and the influence she has on my well-being and leveraging that to care for me and love for me is one of the great gifts that she gives.
Mm. Man, oh man. Anne, are you taking notes?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Whenever I asked Joseph which one stood out to him the most, he said it was number five as well. And just about how for him, like his ultimate desire is to make me happy. And I know that right now as an engaged couple, it definitely looks different, but then taking notes as to what it might look like whenever we do get married, I look forward to that and even getting to implement some of those things later on in life.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I talked to this woman. I know she and her husband well. They had moved from one end of the coast to the opposite end of the coast in the United States. And she, the wife, was miserable. And I remember asking him, like, how's it going? And his first response wasn't about the job. Mm-hmm. He said, my wife is miserable. Mm-hmm. And I pulled her aside and I said, do you know, like, this is killing him mm-hmm. that you're miserable. I'm not saying you need to fake it, but what would you say to that wife not understanding the power she carries that she's so sad or miserable? What would you say to her?
Well, the first thing I would say is not to the wife, but to the husband. I think that our primary responsibility is to make sure that our wives are cared for, that they feel secure, and that they have what they need to thrive and to flourish. And I think a huge commitment that Stacy and I have had is there's not a thing in our life, especially when it comes to vocation, that she doesn't have the right to be honest with me about, to mm-hmm. share how she feels about it. And I think there's a degree of trust that every couple needs to work toward having, which is, if a wife believes that her husband will leave the thing he loves the most, enjoys the most, or spent his life trying to pursue for the sake of his wife and family, I think it will engender a kind of confidence that will allow her to know, hey, he's going to pay attention. And no matter how good things are going outside of the home, if they're not going well inside of the home, I trust that he has my back. And so my first comment would actually be to the husband in that situation and circumstance. Hey, what can we do as husbands and as men to never put our wives in a position where they feel like they have to fake it to make it, or they have to pretend like everything's okay when it's not. And so that would be my comment to the husband is, hey, we have made a commitment to our wives to love them. We've made a commitment to serve them. And sometimes that means like sacrificing even what we might want along that path and alongside that journey. And I think it's really a mutual submission kind of spirit here. Because if a husband has that kind of attitude, it probably has an effect on the wife's ability to keep on enduring if she knows her husband has her best interest in mind.
Right. Yeah, I think that like really speaks into that first one about expressing gratitude. And so much of that is internal. And even when the external situation around us is hard, and sometimes like it's part of marriage, we go through hard stuff, but when we're looking for the qualities in our spouse that we're grateful for and we're willing to express those, like sometimes that internal awareness of our spouse, it really has an external impact on the way we view our circumstances. So it's like, what can you look for? It's like, can I have an eye for the things that he is doing right? Because we can always find things that they're not doing right. There's always places we can all improve. But when we say, okay, I'm going to be intentional to look out for what is something, it could be small. Hey, thank you for taking the trash out. And it starts small. And I think when we praise those things in our husbands, man, it's like this self-perpetuating cycle that encourages them to be that man that, you know, they want to be. They want to be a great provider.
I mean, I can say from the man's side, we're editing right now Anne's book. And I just wrote this story yesterday in her book. And we've shared it here before, but it's just this simple. One time as I sat down for dinner and we had three younger boys, I think our oldest might have been middle school, maybe. Anne said, hey, before we eat, guys, I want to say something to Dad. And she turns to me and she goes, hey, thanks. Thanks for working so hard. Your salary provided this meal. Thanks for the hours you put in, the sermon prep, blah, blah, blah. Behind her, I am not making this up, on the kitchen hutch, 4 feet away, is Shanti's book.
Yeah, for women only.
For women only, which has a little bit of the same stuff in there, but it was about how important it is to your man that he feels appreciated. So I know she's doing what she just read, and it didn't matter. My chest was like popping out of my shirt. Yeah. I'm like, I am the man. Right. Yeah. I didn't say any of that, but it felt so good. And what Shanti says, notice his effort, sincere, thankful.
Yes.
I can just say on the man side of this, right, guys? It makes it sound like we're the most insecure people in the world, but when you notice and say something, even just a little thank you, it is a little thing that is big.
It's powerful. We women have so much power we don't even realize.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this, Joseph and Anna. When it talks about mentions in front of other people that he did well, has Anna done that for you yet, Joseph?
Yes. Anna has been like one of the most encouraging people for me. One example would be even at church, I did a senior sermon. I was sharing all of what I was going to say with Anna, and she was encouraging me. Mm-hmm. You're doing a really good job. You know, even hearing her say that, like, wow, that sounds so good. I was like, you pumping out my chest. You know, I was pumping out my chest. I was like, wow, I think I did do a good job. You know, but it was all that is what I needed to hear. Mm. And it prepared me even going into that, you know, it really did.
And I think even whenever I heard that, it made me stop and think about how maybe I should even incorporate that more often than I do. I do that so often, but whenever he's not there, maybe when he's there, I don't think about really saying it as much to other people. And so trying to be more intentional in saying those kinds of things, but in front of him, because he didn't realize how much I actually do it because he doesn't see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow we get to talk about the Fantastic Five for her. Mm-hmm. But I would say this, Stacey, I'm shocked that you said you stop and you go out when Colin's coming home.
I'm so convicted by that.
I mean, part of me wants to go, really? Do you really do? And I know you do. I mean, Colin's sitting right here. He'd say,
I am excited about coming home every day because I know the first thing I'm going to experience is the smile of Stace.
Can I add one? Because I feel like we maybe skipped over this one, but I think it's really important. Like oftentimes what will precede that welcome before he gets home is a text message that's like, hey, I'm thinking about you. And when the kids go to bed, like, I'm really excited to be with you. Man, that goes a long way of like, you know, the middle of the day when he's in meetings that are long and he's dealing with a lot of stuff to know that like, not only am I excited to see him, but like, I'm excited to see him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think that's huge.
Yeah, because you want him.
I want him, right? Yes. That's a huge one. And I mean, that's something we've learned in our marriage.
Okay. Say this to the wives, my partners, like friends, here we go. Think about how simple that was. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't even go out in the garage, but when he comes in the door, you go to the door and you smile when he walks in the door, like you're happy to see him. Mm. We can do that.
I mean, you talk about application from today, and I will just add this last thought. I think what a lot of us don't understand, especially women, is that we men are still little boys. We have a man's shell, but underneath is a little boy saying, Mom, do you see me? It's still there. It's like, honey, did you see? Does anybody notice? And when we hear a thank you or a praise in front of other people, I don't think women understand what happens to a soul of a man is we do come alive. Yeah. And if you want to keep your man, that's going to keep your man. He's going to work too much. He is coming home to that because that is a little thing that is huge.
And a little text message during the middle of the day, that can go a long way too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Both ways. We're going to talk about women tomorrow.
Yeah.
We want to thank Dave and Ann Wilson and their team for another edition of Family Life Today. Although our programs are produced in America, the issues facing families like forgiveness, communication, and taking care of our kids transcend national borders. These issues profoundly affect relationships everywhere. In Australia, family life is known as Power to Change, and our mission is to effectively develop godly families, the kind of families that change the world one home at a time. A key part of our mission includes strengthening marriages and families all around the world. We want to do whatever we can to bring timeless truths to the challenges you face as you seek to strengthen your family and join us in changing the world. Do you need some practical help in your relationship and aren't quite sure where to turn? We offer relationship checkups where you will meet with one of our trained relationship coaches who will help equip you with some new tools while you take a more holistic look at your relationship. For more information, email radio@powertochange.org.au or check out our website, families.powertochange.org.au, under the Need Help tab and get started today. We hope you can join us tomorrow at the same time for another Family Life Today.